You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town Outpost, this is the Flopcast, episode 544.
Here we are.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake. It's really you.
Yeah. Look at this.
We teased last week that something was going to be different this week, and the difference is you're actually here. I'm actually here.
We're both actually here.
We're both here together, which has not happened in a long, long time. We're not on Zoom. This is reality.
Yeah, you can tell I sound a little less like a robot, but only a little less.
It's been so long. I literally have not seen you in like 2.5 years.
I'm going to get choked up if I think about it too much.
I've seen you on little Zoom windows. So I looked this up. I was trying to figure out exactly how long has it been. And here's what I unearthed. The last time we recorded in person, as far as I can determine, we got together to record the Flopcast in the same room. That last happened on February 5th, 2020.
Ooh.
Remember?
Just barely.
And that was the We Are the World flop fight.
Well, I'm glad we went out on an epic note.
Who won that thing? I'm trying to remember. I think Cyndi Lauper?
I think she did.
I think Cyndi Lauper won the...
She stormed it.
The We Are the World flop fight. Yep, that was it for you and me recording the Flopcast.
Yeah.
That was episode 407. Episodes 408 and 409... the mayor was filling in for you, guest hosting.
As I was scrambling to put together an album to release at MarsCon.
Yeah, you had a record coming out, and you were performing in Minnesota.
Getting ready to debut my album and go on tour.
We were busy. You went to MarsCon, then I went to Las Vegas. You know, Brittany and I ran our 5K in Vegas. This is all as the world was collapsing around us. We didn't realize how horrifying it was going to get. And
we did get together one last time.
Yes. March 4th, 2020. I have all this in my notes.
You kept notes on this? You crazy person.
March 4th, we got together, not for the Flopcast, but to see Mystery Science Theater 3000 live.
It was so good.
We went to live MST3K with Joel and the robots and everything in Lowell, Massachusetts, with our friend Sarah, who was with us as well, and the mayor. And that was it. Then I flew to Vegas the next day, I believe, after that MST3K show, and I never saw you again.
Yeah, it was.
So then episode 410 was our first pandemic-era Zoom recording.
Yeah.
So we'd recorded remotely a handful of times before that over the years, over Skype or whatever, for one reason or another. But starting from episode 410 up until right now, it's been all Zoom.
Yeah, we had never intended to go to a Zoom format, so it was not a well-oiled machine sort of thing.
The business model of this show from the start is we're going to get together, have coffee in person.
Which we're doing today, by the way.
We've got coffee. Cornflake has provided the coffee this time, but that was the format of the show, was we're together in person, live. And then it completely changed, of course, when the whole world exploded. And it's been fine. Now, meanwhile, even before pre-pandemic, you kept moving farther and farther away from Chicken Town Studios. And I mean, I can take a hint. So things were changing anyway. And you're so far away at this point. Like, if you keep heading north, you're going to have to learn to speak French.
It's true. The outpost has gotten more and more northerly over our years of recording, but I promise you, this is it. This is my northernmost point. I don't know if I'll ever bounce back and go south again, but... So,
well, I wouldn't blame you, because it is beautiful here where we are. We're at Cornflake's Chicken Town Outpost right now, in the backyard.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of the crickets chirping is picking up on the mic or not. But we are out in nature right now. It's so weird.
You may hear a rustling in the woods now and again. You have to wonder, is it a squirrel or a bear?
Is there any chance I'm going to be dragged off by a coyote?
Hmm.
That sounds like a yes. You didn't answer right away. You had to think about it.
Well, I normally don't make too big of a deal of that, and I just kind of hope it doesn't happen.
So I had business up north anyway. It turned out I was going to be heading up this way close enough that I thought maybe it's time to actually finally meet up for real in person. And so here it is. It's been like 2.5 years, and yikes. I mean, I talk to you every week. You know, it's not like we've drifted apart. I'm like, how long has it been since we spoke? Oh, it was like Thursday.
Right.
But wow, it's so special and cool to actually see you for real after all this time.
I am just really glad that you made it to the outpost. The chickens up here have always hoped they'd meet you. I have a suspicion, though, that they're turkeys in chicken suits.
That could be. Here we are together at last, and we are recording a show right now. We thought, if I'm going to come up here, let's do a show. Here we go. So let's pretend this is an actual regular episode of the Flopcast, and I understand you have for us, as usual, a National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
Yeah. As we were getting ready to record this show, I almost forgot to select one because I was so excited that I was going to get to see you.
I did notice you frantically picking out a National Whatever Day as we were right about to do this, yes.
And I was looking over every possibility for the week, and I'm like, oh no, they're all dumb, but I found something.
All right.
I think it's at least a little bit relevant to the activities of the evening. I found that October 10th is National Decorate a Cake Day.
Oh, that does fit in with what just happened moments ago.
Yes.
Right before I hit the record button.
We spared you the on-air chomping, but
we were chomping on cupcakes moments ago.
Not just any cupcakes.
Boozy cupcakes? You described them as boozy. Was there actual booze in those cupcakes?
There is actual booze in those cupcakes.
Is that why the backyard is spinning right now?
It adds a nice little bit of a fuzz to the outdoors. Yes, we got a limey one, which has tequila in it. And an orange dreamsicle one, which just has amazing in it.
You brought them both out here. You split them in half, which was genius. And then we each got half of each cupcake.
Get to try them both.
Good thinking. They were delicious.
I didn't really.
I don't know that I detected the booze. Is it just going to sneak up on me later?
Yeah.
On? Yeah.
When you least expect it, it kicks
okay.
in.
So this show will become less coherent as we go along then.
And we were so excited to have them that we didn't take pictures so that you all could see how beautifully decorated.
There's no photographic evidence. I tore right into it like a savage out in the wild, which I suppose I am right now.
But we've had cake on the show before.
Oh, sure.
Do you remember episode 251?
You brought us a special 251 cake, right? For
yes.
Episode 251. Sure. So what's today? What national? It's Decorate a Cake Day?
Yes. October okay. 10th is Decorate a Cake Day.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's been for you decorating cakes.
I don't know that I've ever decorated a cake.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a cake guy. I don't think I've ever like baked a cake.
Ah. It was up to me at one point to decorate a cake for an occasion, and I decided I couldn't do it. So I frosted the thing and then I let everybody take the gel decorating stuff and write on it, and it looked like, you know when everybody signs a cast?
Oh, sure.
That's what my cake looked like.
Just a hideous
just had everybody
graffiti.
Sign it.
Yeah.
And it was adorable and ugly all at once. So I've got to up my game if I'm going to celebrate National Decorate a Cake Day. But
I've done like Christmas cookies. You know, I've made some bizarre, ridiculous, crazy Christmas cookie decorations. But
you've made some good ones.
I don't think I've done a cake. I think we discussed this on the show many years ago, but I had an idea once. That this must have been like back in the 90s. I thought they should make a cereal, like a ridiculous, sweet Captain Crunch kind of a cereal. And there should be a frosting packet in the cereal box, and then you decorate the top of your bowl of cereal as if you were decorating a cake.
Oh.
That was an idea that I had, and then somebody actually did it.
What?
I doubt that it's around anymore, but they actually did make a cereal with a frosting packet inside. We actually got a box of this stuff. I don't remember what it was called. My idea, I wanted to call it Frosted Morning, but yeah, this existed. I doubt it still does, but we got a box of it, and I took the frosting packet, and I wrote in frosting, I wrote, my idea. So I guess that's as close as I've come to celebrating a cake decorating day.
Well, we all have our talents. Maybe cake decorating isn't ours, but for those of you who do, happy cake decorating day.
Absolutely. Speaking of breakfast cereal, though, I guess a follow-up from last week, in which we had the Frankenberry review
from
our friend Matt.
Matt.
as promised, Matt went out and got himself a box of blueberry.
Did he immediately jettison the marshmallows
yes.
again?
Yes. Here, I can show you a picture. He Turksted me a photo where he's fishing the marshmallows out and dumping them on the floor for the dog.
I can smell the artificial blueberry through the picture.
Matt's not a fan of the blueberry. He said, blueberry, unlike Frankenberry, it tastes like nothing but corn pops.
I could have told him that.
See, he said, there's no blue, there's no berry, there's no comparison. No question, Frankenberry rules. Next week, Count Chocula.
Oh.
So the monster cereal reviews from Matt shall continue.
See, I think he started with the best one.
Yeah, yeah. It's all downhill from Frankenberry, you think?
Poor guy.
You're a Fruit Brute fan, as I recall
that. I am, and Fruit Brute.
It's back. You should go out and get yourself a box of
Fruit Brute. Frankenberry are fairly close, but there's a hint of difference between the cherry and the strawberry. Yeah, I'm Fruit Brute. I can't believe he's not going to do Fruit Brute.
Yeah, maybe he'll try the Fruit Brute. I don't know. But
Matt, eat some Fruit Brute.
You can't get Fruit Brute every year, but this year they brought it back. So see if you can track down a box. Absolutely.
Or several.
All right, happy cake day. And thanks for the boozy cupcakes. They were fantastic. I had something for you.
What?
I brought something for you.
See, this is a surprise.
Well, yeah. When we're on Zoom, I can't just hand you actual physical things. I mean, it's not super exciting, and you knew this was coming, but I got 2 years' worth of Flopcast badge ribbons here
what?
For you.
Oh, nice.
These are all the ribbons you've been missing out on, because I haven't seen you since these ribbons existed. But I think I've got 4 or 5 of each of them for
wow.
you.
Wow.
But I've got the ribbons that we made for DragonCon 2021 last year. You didn't miss any ribbons from 2020? Since we weren't going anywhere.
We didn't go anywhere.
We didn't make any ribbons. Last year, I made, of course, the main ribbons that we made, the main Flopcast ribbons for DragonCon last year. They've got chickens on them, and it says, "You're weird, and I missed you."
You.
I think that's appropriate for you and me right now. You
yes.
are weird, and I have missed you.
I've missed you as
and
well.
Now, I didn't have to say that, because I could have just handed you a ribbon.
Could have just stuck that right on my forehead.
Yes, I shall do that. We have, also from last year, I made Howard the Duck ribbons last year.
Yes.
The movie version of Howard. And, of course, the other ribbons I made last year were because Wesley and Kathy from Land of the Lost were there last year. I made these Sleestak ribbons that say, "Run, Holly, run."
Those are perfect.
Yes, which the Land of the Lost cast, they had a great time with these. They were giving these ribbons out at their autograph booth all weekend. That was last year's ribbons. And then I've got two more from this year. Of course, I've got Flash Gordon, Gordon's Alive.
Brian Blessed!
The little Brian Blessed Hawkman cartoon on the front. I drew that. That's my cartoon interpretation of the Hawkman from Flash Gordon.
It's excellent.
It's Gordon's Alive, the ribbon. And, of course, here you go, Potsy Panic.
I know the origin of that.
It's Potsy from Happy Days, a little picture of Potsy, and it says Potsy Panic. That's 2 years' worth of Flopcast ribbons.
Wow.
Here they are.
Oh, cool.
I know you've seen them on your computer screen, but here they are in actual reality.
In real life.
Yes. So
thank you.
Enjoy the ribbons.
I plan on it.
It's been a wacky weekend for me. Even before I got up here to see you, I was out last night. The mayor and I went out last night. We went to Boston for a Kay Hanley concert. Kay Hanley.
Kay Hanley solo this
time. This is not Letters to Cleo. You know, Kay, front woman of Letters to Cleo, of course. You and I have been to Letters to Cleo concerts in Boston. They're still doing that. Next month, Cleo will be back in Boston for their annual homecoming concerts.
Oh, their special homecoming show.
But Kay Hanley, well, her first solo album, post-Cleo, came out 20 years ago. In 2002, she did the Cherry Marmalade album. So she put together a little tour to celebrate her first solo record. So she had a couple of shows in Boston this weekend. She's probably on stage right now as we're recording. I think it's night two. But the mayor and I went to night one. But yeah, I rarely get into Boston these days. But this was no fooling around Boston. This place, the City Winery, which I think is a chain of music venues around the country.
Oh, I've not heard of it.
Yeah, yeah. There's a bunch of these city wineries around. I'd never been to this one before. But the Boston City Winery was hosting Kay Hanley's show. And it's right down the street from the Boston Garden.
Oh.
So it's, you know, that part of town. For people outside this area, Boston Garden, it's not a garden.
It's not a garden.
It's a hockey arena. This is where the Boston Bruins and the Boston Celtics play. And major concerts and stuff happen at the Boston Garden. So we were right around the corner from the garden. And before Kay Hanley's show, we found a nice restaurant with an outdoor patio dining. So went there to grab some dinner. And we kept seeing these packs of people swarming around. And we heard people talking about, are you going to the concert? Are you going to the concert? And I thought, these people can't all be going to the Kay Hanley show. Like, is there a bigger concert happening? And the mayor looked it up to see what's going on. Is there something going on at Boston Garden tonight? And yeah, it was. Everybody in the neighborhood except us, people were there for Lizzo.
Oh, Lizzo. Nice.
Lizzo was at the Boston Garden last night. Who I don't know much about Lizzo.
I like Lizzo.
She's
very
cool.
Much,
yeah. I've only seen her a couple of times, like on Saturday Night Live. And that's all I've seen of her. But I like what I saw. I know she plays the flute, which is cool.
Yes.
I like the flute. I used to play the flute. You know, so we
are a flautist.
We have that in common. Yes, I am a flautist, although it's been several decades. The funny thing, though, is her fans, they have a look. You could tell.
These are the Lizzo people.
We're on the outdoor patio, like right next to the front door to this restaurant, which filled up because of all the Lizzo people. And so the restaurant fills up, the patio fills up. So as all these people are arriving, we're right by the door. So we're listening to the door guy turning people away or telling them it's a 45-minute wait. Or whatever, but it was all these packs of young girls wearing like sparkly outfits and a lot of pink party dresses and stuff.
I bet their makeup was on point.
It was very funny. Just, oh yeah, here comes another Lizzo pack.
Legions of Lizzo fans.
Yes. So that was fun, seeing the Lizzo people, and then went over to the City Winery, and the opening act was a band called The Loyal Seas, which I'd heard of, but never seen. But Loyal Seas includes Tanya Donnelly.
Oh!
From Belly, you know?
Nice,
from
yes.
From the Breeders and from Belly. And I love Tanya Donnelly. Seen her many times. So that was a nice surprise when they added her other band, The Loyal Seas, as openers. And yeah, it's like, okay, here comes Tanya. She comes out and then she starts singing and it just hit me like, oh, there's that voice. That's Tanya. I've been hearing this voice for 30 years.
Takes you back.
Oh, what a treat to have Tanya there. You know, another local lady. She's still local.
Yes.
You know, Kay Hanley and the other Cleo people have scattered at this point. Kay is out in California, but gets back for these homecoming shows because she's a Boston girl. Going back to the old times. And this is Kay, not with Letters to Cleo, but with a backup band, totally right. Different backup band. Although her drummer was the second Cleo drummer.
Ah.
Yeah, they had another drummer towards the end of their original run. That was the guy she had with her last night, but great band. And even Kay was playing a lot of guitar last night, which she doesn't really do much with Cleo, but she was strumming the rhythm guitar through this show, getting a little bit of coaching from her bass player. He had to like remind her which capo. where do I put
she's
the?
She's got a lot on her mind.
Where does the capo go for this song?
I don't remember all the lyrics.
But they sounded great, and I love that album. You know, I love everything she does, but that first solo record, Cherry Marmalade, wonderful. I remember getting that record. I think I got an autographed copy through the mail 20 years ago. I was trapped upstairs in my apartment with a broken leg. At the time, I was injured.
Aww.
Yeah, yeah. It was like Rear Window with James Stewart. except instead of solving a murder, I was just listening to Kay Hanley records.
Wow.
So it wouldn't have made a good movie. But yeah, they just went through that whole record plus some other stuff. No Cleo. No Cleo songs. It was all Kay Hanley songs.
Very nice. Well, I think like if Letters to Cleo is a cinnamon roll, Cherry Marmalade is like the center of the cinnamon roll. I like it all, but it's you really get full-on Kay Hanley.
It sounds like you're just still thinking about decorating cakes.
Yeah, I might be. I'm just in pastry la-la land now.
That's the boozy cupcake talking over there. You know, this record, it's like a pastry. It's like you dumped a bunch of frosting on top of your breakfast cereal and it came out as a Letters to Cleo album.
I listen and I hear a pavlova, you know?
Well, that was last night anyway in Boston. It was great. But now there's today, because today I had to get up and pack and head north. I'm up here to run. The reason I came so far north that I'm in cornflake territory is my running group and I, many of us signed up for a half marathon run, which as we record is tomorrow morning, Hampton Beach, New Hampshire.
On the seacoast.
We're right
yes.
on the coast, Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, to do a half marathon. So that'll be wacky. see how that goes. That's why I'm in the neighborhood. Meanwhile, you've been filling me up on lobster rolls and cupcakes all day. I'm carving up for the race.
I asked you because I know, like, before something major physically, like, I have to be super, super careful about what I eat, so.
You're supposed to carb up the day before to run.
Well, right? I had you covered.
That's the conventional wisdom. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but I guess that's the way we're going today because it's lobster roll, onion rings, and then giant boozy cupcake here in the backyard.
That was the way to go.
But you took me out for lobster rolls. You spent the week researching lobster rolls. You made spreadsheets.
This is a multi-pronged, and Kevin's not exaggerating.
I'm not exaggerating.
You're not. You're not exaggerating.
Literally, I'm going to say dozens of phone calls.
I did.
You've been calling people with questions about lobster rolls all week.
I have. Because when you're on the seacoast, it turns out there's lots of places you can get a lobster roll. But there aren't necessarily lots of places you can get a lobster roll the way that you and I like them.
You and I are strictly anti-mayonnaise.
All the way.
Mayonnaise is my enemy. And the enemy of the Flopcast, I dare say.
I mean, No mayonnaise spread, kissed with mayonnaise.
And everywhere
nothing.
You go, any restaurant you go into, they're trying to trick you into, they want to dump mayonnaise on everything, even if they don't tell you. Sometimes it's a secret until it happened to me last night at that outdoor patio before the Kay Hanley show. I ordered fish tacos last night, and the menu lists everything that's on the fish taco.
Oh, no.
And I said, terrific, fish tacos, bring them. And she brings them. And there's this glop on top of the fish tacos that was not on the menu.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah. And I don't know what it was. There's so many, like, secret code words for mayonnaise. It'll be like, this is our aioli, or this is our remoulade. You know, there's all these creepy synonyms. But
just call it glop.
It's all glop. It's all mayonnaise,
it's
if
all
you ask me.
Yuck.
But yeah, last night, as the Lizzo fans were being turned away, there I am desperately scraping the top of my fish tacos. And then, it worked out, though. What I did, I had our waitress fetch me a big bottle of rooster sauce, the sriracha sauce, the hot stuff, and I just doused it. I drowned it so there was no discernible trace of mayonnaise left at that point.
That's not a bad approach when you're unlike me and not calling every restaurant in town to find out exactly what.
You put so much time and effort and research into where are we going to go to get a lobster roll with no mayonnaise.
I involved so many people in this, Kevin. It's just like
you had like message boards and discussion groups happening.
I was on an online forum and
Discord channels.
I said, hey, where do you go to get a lobster roll without mayonnaise on it? And some smart Alex piped up and said, well, just ask for it to not have mayonnaise on it. With some places.
That's not going
to
work. That's how they get you.
That's how they get you. It's like, I need a commitment.
Yeah.
From the whole entire staff, like from
signed document from the manager,
from the wait staff, the manager, the line cooks. I need them to all be in this with me, and I'll agree.
I need to tour the kitchen and verify it's been stripped
with
of
white
mayonnaise.
Gloves. And I'm gonna do the little test. So I got a bunch of suggestions. I think it wound up being 17 suggestions for different places we could go. I then, and of course, they just name the place. And in some cases, they're like, it's the place that's on this road. So I had to like do a little bit of detective work and figure out what it was. I narrowed it down from 17 to 3, all by making phone calls and getting on the phone and saying, hey, are you open today? And do your lobster rolls have mayonnaise on them? But finally, we narrowed it down to one place in York, Maine. And just by fun coincidence, it's the place I go every year to see the trap tree, Kevin.
You found a lobster place right next to the trap tree. No, the trap tree is not there. But you were able to point out just off to the side of our little outdoor dining area. You were like, that's where they put the trap tree. Flopcast listeners know the trap tree. It's a giant pile of lobster traps, which they decorate like a Christmas tree, and Cornflake goes and visits it every year.
And sometimes they even put a lobster on top.
So this year we had our lobster rolls.
It's an absolute delight.
We had our lobster rolls right next to where the trap tree will be come the holiday season.
And I assured Kevin that they weren't going to pull a bait and switch. So I had to like trust the process.
Oh, yeah. Then we had an extensive anti-mayonnaise conversation with the server. We got her involved.
It included a picket line and a demonstration. And actually, our server was super nice.
She was great, and she understood how we felt about glop on our sandwich.
And brought us delicious, hot-buttered, no-mayonnaise lobster rolls.
It was fantastic. You did it. You put probably a little too much effort into this project, but you did it.
I think it was worth it.
It was worth it. It worked.
But now I also know several other places in town that serve them this way, and I feel like after making them all get on the phone with me, I need to methodically go from one to the next.
Oh,
and like,
yeah. You're going
to
be on tour now.
Yeah, touring the lobster roll nation.
Make t-shirts. So that was our first stop anyway.
Yes.
But and then it just kept getting weirder because you took me into outer space, essentially. What was that? You found a weird farm that they decorate with lights. And it was like UFO themed.
Yeah, in the past, around this time of year, it made logical sense for it to be a Halloween light display. And some people do this in their yards, right? They put out the orange and the purple lights. This takes over an entire farm. It's called Sandy Hill Farm. It's in the southernmost part of Maine. And they just take that entire farm and they light it up. The year I went, 2 years ago, it was very much Halloween themed. There were like light up skulls and masks in the forest, and it was cool. It was a little bit smaller because it was their first year. They've expanded a lot this year, and the theme was outer space.
This is, you walk along paths and there's just big crazy lights everywhere, and yeah, it was all outer space and UFO theme. There's giant flying saucers in the air and lights everywhere. The planets are there. Mars, we stopped and paid our respects to Robilar from Mars.
See, I was a little bit behind my game. I forgot my Robilar costume, but I was going to jump out of the woods dressed up like Robilar just for you, Kevin.
That would have been good.
They have these cool blinky tunnels. You could walk through the center of the sun.
A lot of fun stuff. All various wacky outer space light displays, and yeah, flying saucers and UFOs and aliens and whatnot. So that was cool. That was fun. A lot of kids were there. You know, families go with children. I would have preferred that children are not allowed at functions like this.
Yes, I should have been as extensive. I should have made a lot of phone calls, yeah, just like I did for the lobster
call
rolls.
The light up UFO place, and you don't allow children to walk through and look at the pretty lights, do you? My feeling is, as a compromise, they should let kids in, but just during the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's the best way to enjoy a light display.
That's how they should do it. There's also, like, music playing through it. Like, there's a Pink Floyd song playing over here, and here's Elton John, Rocket Man playing. And then towards the beginning of those, we're walking in, it was David Bowie, Space Oddity, was playing, and it felt weird to me, and then I realized why. I've been so conditioned, so trained by Nicky Luparelli's annual David Bowie burlesque shows that I'm looking around like, where are the naked people?
Right.
I know how this goes.
Someone going to descend in a hoop from one of those
spaceships? There should be a girl being lowered on a hoop from up above us right now. Yeah.
That would have been so cool.
Yeah, so
they couldn't have let the kids in for that.
That's right. They had to put Nicky in charge of the UFO light show after dark.
Oh, that would be amazing. Although, as we walked through,
yeah,
we noticed a few things. It's like, one of these things is not like the other. So there's like a spaceship, and then there's a moon, and then there's a building that says North Pole on it.
Santa's Village, apparently left over from a previous display, was suspiciously lurking amongst all the UFO stuff. Yes, there was a...
Is Santa an alien?
So, yeah, wow. You took care of me today. You found me. You brought me to the thoroughly researched House of Lobster, and then to the weird...
They should rename the restaurant.
That's a good name for your business, yes. And then we went and looked at the goofy lights and UFOs and junk, and there, here we are, outdoors in the wild, recording the Flopcast together in person for the first time in a million years.
The dogs that Kevin can occasionally hear in the background at the outpost all came to the window to greet you.
A lot of dogs were staring out at us, confused. I don't blame them. Well, it's weird.
Right, they're used to me recording this.
Strange dude shows up in your backyard and starts podcasting.
You didn't know this happens all the time?
Got drifters just wandering through here with recording equipment constantly.
That's just my life.
So is this the way we're going to do the show from now on? I'll come up here every week?
I would just figure out a way to make boozy cupcakes. But you'd certainly be welcome to. It is going to get awfully cold to be out here at some point.
But now tomorrow, half marathon. What's the plan for that? How are we going to win this thing? I think we've got to cheat. I think realistically, the only chance I stand in this half marathon tomorrow could we Rosie Ruiz this thing, going back to Boston Marathon history? Like, could you, like, pick me up and then drive me to almost to the end of the course? Then I sneak out and I re-enter the race?
That's more clever, because my plan, I would have gotten caught, because I'm thinking, I can't run, but yeah. I can stand there and trip people.
That'd help, too. Yep. Throw an elbow. You'll be in your Robillard costume,
yeah.
So people will be thoroughly confused, well, and I think we can take this.
I grabbed one of those spaceships from the display, and I was figuring I could just fly you right over the marathon route and land you on the other side, and
yeah.
When somebody said aliens dropped them off, nobody would believe them.
No, that's crazy. All right, that works. We're going to win. We're going to win this thing for the
Flopcast.
Absolutely. All right, sounds good. That's the plan for tomorrow. I believe the plan for next week is some Halloween talk and possibly with a special guest.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I think that's the plan.
I might even have a concert to talk about next week.
Maybe a concert report. That'd be good, too.
Good things coming. Hard to top this, though.
Going to see Lizzo? Are you going to be one of the Lizzo people getting thrown out of the restaurant?
I sure hope so.
They just kick you out and they throw a mayonnaise-covered fish taco at you?
Oh, I've been kicked out of less classy establishments.
All right. Well, you know what, Cornflake? This is crazy to see you here. We're together in the wild and the outdoors, but I do have to go run like a maniac in the morning, so...
Yeah, we got to get you down for the night.
I suppose before we're dragged off by coyotes, why don't we wrap this thing up?
Okay, well, find us at our very own website, flopcast.net, or facebook.com/flopcast. On Twitter, our handle is @flopcast, and we're on Instagram, too, the_flopcast. If you are so inclined, go on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and or a review. That's how other listeners are going to find this wonderful show, and that's how we're going to spread the gospel of boozy cupcakes. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness fans are largely just packs of young girls wearing sparkly pink dresses, you know? We have our demographic as well.
That's true.
It's all too true. Cornflake, this was crazy fun. Thanks for the hospitality, bringing me up here to the wilds where it looks like in all likelihood I'm about to be murdered.
Oh, that clearing in the woods that gets him every time.
I'm getting a little bit of a Blair Witch vibe at this point as the night progresses. But thanks, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this very rare and weird live in-person show as well. And meanwhile, of course, please be safe, be kind, be silly. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and lobster rolls.
Helm, report.
Sir, there's Klingons on the starboard bow.
Starboard bow?
Starboard bow!
What are they doing there?
They seem to be waiting for the new episode of Earth Station Trek.
Science, what do we know about this Earth Station Trek?
It's a podcast that treks through the history of Star Trek, from the early days on NBC to the future on Paramount Plus and everywhere in between.
Navigation, how would one find such a podcast?
By setting coordinates for earthstationtrek.com or by doing a sensor sweep of Spotify, iTunes, or any other quadrant where fine podcasts are available.
Captain, what are we going to do about the Klingons?
We come in peace, Commander. Weapon station, shoot to kill.
Shoot to kill?
Shoot to kill.
Okay, Cornflake, this is our first together in-person secret after show in about 77 years.
Yes.
What's going on tonight?
Well, you brought something that I've been missing over the past couple of years. You had that surprise.
The ribbons.
With the ribbons.
Yep.
And I thought, what else have we not seen in a while because we've not been recording together? And up here in the outpost, I do have a little piece of Chicken Town.
Ooh.
That I keep with me. Do you remember when the mayor presented us with keys to Chicken Town?
Yes, I do remember. That was a long time ago.
So, I've never told you this, but on my desk where I record the show, I always take out my key to Chicken Town. Here's the nice note that the mayor put. It's on a little card that has a chicken on it. I hereby bestow upon Cornflake the key to Chicken Town for excellence in podcasting. Signed, the mayor.
Look at that. And yeah, here it is. It's beautiful, ornate key with a little silver chicken hanging off the end of it. I remember when we got these keys. I believe that was for episode 100.
Yes, that's how we celebrated.
So that would have been like 8.5 years ago or something that we got these. Wow, that's beautiful.
So, at least in spirit, you guys are never too far away.
But up here, That key's not good for anything. Just throw it away. Just hurl it into the woods. It's no good to us anymore.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.